Thank the Lord for this preaching moment. Thank this choir for leading us in this service. Thank God for everything. God is awesome. Awesome. That's the word you use when you just can't think of another word. That's the best I can come up with. He's just awesome. I want to share with you today out of the book of Acts. We've been in the book of Acts, and we're going to stay there, and we're going to trek our way through the book of Acts. I like that. Acts, the church on mission. I like that. That's good. We're in the book of Acts chapter 3. For our responsive reading, we read verses 10 through 26. I'm going to deal with that 10 through 26, but I just want to read in your hearing this verse 10. Now the NIV version, it reads in this way, "And they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him." I just want to tag this, wrap our mind around this sermon, miracles with a message. Miracles with a message. In our text, we see the preaching opportunity that came after Peter healed this man who was sitting by the gate called Beautiful, this crippled man that was sitting by the gate called Beautiful. And he had been crippled from birth. Peter and John, they were following their normal routine when someone got their attention. As they were walking to the temple to pray that evening for a prayer service. But as they got there, they saw this man who was calling out by passersby that were on their way to the temple to pray that day. Now, this, my friends, is a literal walking contradiction. As you think about where the people were going and what they were going for, and this crippled man, what he was doing. And maybe that's what caught Peter and John's attention. The stark dichotomy of those going to the place of prayer at the time of prayer and this man laying at the gate. And I always wondered why this man never got inside, never went inside. After doing a little deeper research, it seemed that he wasn't allowed in because of his condition. And I think some folk today still think that that holds true today. And people come and they stand on the outside and they ask for help, but they never come on the inside where they could get some real help. And sometimes I think maybe in their mind they think, I can't go in because I'm not whole. I'm not right. I don't have it all together. But if they really knew the truth, they would be sitting on the front row because ain't nobody in here got it right anyway. And if you can get it right before you come in, I need to go wherever you're going. But the truth of the matter is you can't fix yourself. You can't save yourself. You can't even really change yourself. You got to come in so some change can happen. Here this man, crippled, just shouting his folk as they go on the inside, and he's missing where the real help is. And maybe that's what caught Peter and John's attention. And here, my brothers and sisters, is an interesting fact. Even though the church has her ministries, even though we plan activities and rehearse for Sunday morning worship, there are still more ministries opportunities outside of formal church work. It was on their way to church that Peter and John came across a man that was in need. You don't have to wait until Sunday morning before you sing songs of Zion. You don't have to wait for noonday prayer service to bring all of your petitions to God. You don't have to wait for the church to go to the nursing home before you visit the sick and the shut-in. Amen, somebody. You see, it's good to do church work, but it's better to do the work of the church. For when you do the work of the church, you're more concerned about getting the church in people than you are getting people in the church. You don't mind helping as you go when you're doing the work of the church. You see, going to evening prayer was important for Peter and John, but when they saw this crippled man laying at the entrance gate, instead of going to get a blessing, they decided to be a blessing. And I have to ask you today, have you given anybody a blessing today? Or are you more focused on just receiving a blessing? But I'm not trying to judge anybody, because you can't really give what you don't have. So I guess a better question is, do you have a blessing that you can give somebody else? Oh, don't play with me now. Has God blessed you with anything? I know you may be thinking about all of your problems and all the things pressuring you down, but I want to know, has God been good to you? Better than you've been to yourself? Well, if God's blessed you, then you have something to give back to somebody else. Just take a look at that text. Because when the man was told to get up and walk, Peter picked him up by the hand. Sometimes you may not have anything of maturity to give, but you can give a kind word. You can give some encouragement. You can pick somebody up when they've fallen down. You can walk with them through all the trials and tribulations of life. And Peter and John didn't have what this man wanted, but they gave him what they did have. And what they had was better than what he asked for. Brothers and sisters, you have something to give, and whatever God has given to you is enough for you to give somebody else. Oh, you don't believe me? Well, the Bible says, and he gave some to be apostles and prophets, evangelists and shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up the body of Christ. He gave, and whatever he gave is enough. Peter told this man, I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you freely in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Walk. Peter took him by the hand, helped him to his feet, and the Bible says that his ankles became strong. And not only did the man walk, but he even started jumping around. This man had been crippled from birth and was faithful to beg in front of the beautiful gate right outside the temple. He walked into that temple and was recognized by the people who used to pass him by, and they looked at him with wonder and amazement. And brothers and sisters, what happened to this man is what we call a miracle. And I'm here to tell you today that miracles still do happen. You see, there's two Greek words that are oftentimes translated as miracle. One word is the same word that we get the word sign, S-I-G-N. And the other is the word that is often translated as power. So you see, brothers and sisters, a miracle is a sign that points to the Christ and demonstrates God's power. And I declare that miracles do happen. It's that sort of thing that others say can't happen and won't happen, but that God gets involved and makes it happen anyway. I know I'm right about it, because some of you are nothing more than walking miracles. You shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be doing as well as you're doing. You don't even look like what you've been through, but God heard your cry and did what others said that you couldn't do. The doctor told you you wasn't going to make it. The lawyer said you might as well hang it up. Your professor said you can't pass the class. Your spouse said you ain't worth hanging around. The financial planner said you might as well file bankrupt, and all hell broke loose. But God stepped in, and in spite of all your problems, you still here to tell the story about a God who's able to do anything other than fail. There are miracles. They still happening, and they point to Christ, and they show the power of God. But just because you may receive a blessing from the miracle doesn't mean the miracle is really all about you. Just take a look at the text. The man never asked to be healed. The man never even asked for forgiveness of his sin. The man never confessed even doing anything wrong. But Peter saw his condition and told him to get up and walk. Now, I find that fact both disturbing and merciful. It's disturbing because sometimes people mistake God's blessings for God's salvation. Just because God uses you and blesses you does not mean that God is pleased with you. Oh, Lord, don't mistake God's blessing for being in God's favor. I know you're confused and you wonder why in the world would God bless but still not be pleased with. Well, the disciples were just as confused when a man known as the rich young ruler approached Jesus one day and said, "Teacher, what good thing must I do in order to obtain eternal life?" Jesus said, "If you want to have eternal life, you have to keep the commandments. Don't murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't bear false witness against your neighbor, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself." The man said, "All of these I kept, even from a small child, but what do I still lack?" Jesus told the man, "If you want to be perfect, sell all you have, give to the poor, then you will have treasures up in heaven. Then come follow me." But the man had many possessions, and he couldn't separate himself from his possessions. So the Bible said that he went away sorrowfully. Jesus told his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now the disciples were confused. They couldn't understand how someone who had so much but still wasn't in God's favor. And the disciples spoke up and said, "Well, if he can't be saved, then who can?" Jesus said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." You may receive the blessing of God, but still not be in favor with God. You see, the Lord will bless who he wants to bless. He'll curse who he wants to curse. You can't look at your blessings and use that as a determining factor that you are right with the Lord. It's disturbing. Likewise, you can't look at your misfortune and proof as proof that God has forgotten about you. For the Lord doesn't stop being God just because we go through some trials and tribulations. Mama said it this way, "Nobody said that life would be fair. But God's grace is merciful." You see, this man didn't ask for forgiveness. He didn't ask to be healed. But by God's grace and power, this man was healed from all of his infirmity. The Bible says that God causes the sun to rise on the good and the evil. He causes to rain on the righteous and the unjust. That's God's merciful grace. And I tell you, it's disturbing on one hand, but then I say, "Thank you, Lord," on the other hand, because if it wasn't for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. If the Lord gave me what I deserve, if the Lord punished me when I needed to be punished, if the Lord took me as he saw me and dealt with me on account of my behavior, I don't know what I would be at or where I would find myself at. I got to say today, "Thank you, Lord, for looking past all my faults and giving me all of my needs." God's graceful, merciful grace, it disturbs me, but I thank Lord for it anyway. Well, the reason why God blessed this man, even though he didn't ask for it, even though this man benefited from the blessing really wasn't about this man, but it was about God. Just take a look at the text. When the people in the temple saw that the man who walked in was the same beggar who sat by the gate, they were filled, the Bible says, with wonder and amazement. And the beggar held on to Peter and John as they left the temple, and the people followed them to Solomon's porch. And it was there that Peter began to preach to the people and explain by what power this man was healed. You see, the miracle gave opportunity for Peter to preach, and it gave opportunity for the people to repent. Miracles aren't for miracles' sake, but they point to the power of God and for his love toward us. I know that God has blessed you, but don't get so caught up in the blessing that you forget to tell somebody that it was God that did the blessing. It reminds me of those 10 lepers that Jesus healed, and that only one came back to thank Jesus for the blessing. And Jesus asked, "I thought there was 10. What happened to the other 9? Be careful with focusing so much on the miracle that you overlook the miracle worker. Just listen to the message. Peter said, "This power doesn't come from us, but it comes from the same God that your forefathers worshiped. Then Peter flipped the script and told them that the same Jesus who they turned over to be crucified is the same Jesus that God glorified through the resurrection, and by his power this man has been healed. Do you know by whose power you've been blessed? Do you know who's the one that sustained you through all hurt, harm, and danger? Or do you know who's the one that guided you when you couldn't guide yourself? Do you know who's the one that really sustained you in that job? You know you didn't have all of the prerequisites, but you got in anyway. You know you really wasn't that smart, but you passed anyway. Now, let me tell you today, it wasn't because of luck, but you had a God on your side that saw favor on you, and he showed up and blessed you even though you didn't deserve it. Do you know who's blessing you today?
Yes, sir.
But then Peter pointed to their mistake. He said, brothers, I know you acted out of ignorance, as did your leaders. You see, even though Jesus performed miracles and wonders while he was on earth, out of ignorance, the Jews couldn't recognize the power of God working through Jesus. Even though the Jewish leaders were experts in the scripture and the law, they still didn't recognize that they pointed to Jesus. You see, some people sometimes focus so much on the miracle that they can't see the miracle worker, and sometimes they can know the scriptures forwards and backwards and still overlook the same Jesus that the scripture is pointing to. It takes more than signs and wonders, and it takes more than education and knowledge, but you have to have a relationship with the Lord. Trust him at his word. For everyone, the Bible says, who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then Peter told him this: repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. He said, repent and turn to God that your sins might be wiped away. Now, I got to tell you today that he didn't say apologize. He didn't say, say you sorry. He said, repent. And a repentance is a change of mind. That means you got to agree with the Lord that what you did was wrong. That causes a change of heart, that you believe it in your heart, that will reflect a change of behavior. He didn't say give some lukewarm apology, but he said repent. And sometimes when you're really caught in a rut and you can't even see that you're all messed up, the Lord got to let some stuff happen in your life before you even get to a place in your mind that you can say, oh, it ain't you, it's me. I know what I'm talking about because I experienced in my own life. Got mad because the Lord wouldn't take my deal. I told him I'll go to church sometimes. I told him I'll give sometimes if he'll just let me have my way. But the Lord wouldn't bless me. And in my twisted mind, I kept up my end of the deal. But the Lord said it's my way or no way. And he had to let some stuff happen in my life before I realized God's not the problem. It's me. He said, repent, and don't repent so that you can get a blessing. You got to recognize that you've already been blessed. And if the Lord doesn't do another thing, he's already done enough. I know I'm right about it. Repent and get all of your sins washed away. Somebody said, confession may be bad for your reputation, but it's good for your soul. And the Lord knows how to restore a reputation. All you got to do is say, that's what I used to be, but that's not what I am today. And some folk don't know the difference between repentance and confession. They don't know the difference. You can't confess something that you used to do if you're still doing it. That ain't a confession. You can't say, I know what you're talking about because I used to, and you still going to the same places, doing the same things, got the same behavior, but then you wonder why the Lord ain't coming in when you need him to. Well, the Lord don't have to work on your time. He works on his own time. But don't you know There's still miracles happening today. And what I really like about this text, this man can say he don't have to point to the miracle. All he got to do is show up because he is a miracle. And I declare that's some folks today. You ain't got to talk about a miracle. All you got to do is show up because you are a miracle. Folk look at you and they recognize you're not like you used to be, but something got hold of you. And all you got to do is point to the one that makes all things possible, your creator, your salvation, your omega, your alpha and your omega. You are the miracle. During this winter season, it snowed, what, about 9 inches here in Louisville this last time it snowed. And me and Zion, we shoveled off our long driveway, shoveled that off, shoveled off the sidewalk, shoveled off the porch so the mailman can deliver his mail. We even went across the street and helped a senior shovel off his stuff. And as the day went by, I got in the car and I rode across the snow. And you know, on one side of the street, I didn't have to roll across. You know how they put the snow right there by your driveway? You got the driveway clear, but you got to speed through the end so that you don't get stuck at the bottom because they have shoveled all the snow on your driveway. Well, on my neighbor's side, right across the street, that's the sunny side of the street. And they didn't have any snow that needed to be shoveled because the sun shined down across the street on the other side of the street. But then when I stood in the street, I saw on my side, I still had a whole lot of snow. And don't you know life is like that? Sometimes you got to deal with stuff by no fault of your own. You just was born that way. You just live where you live. And you got to do a whole lot more work than the person across the street. But don't you know the Lord will bless you just like they bless them? You may have to work a little harder to get yourself out of some mess. No fault of your own. You was just born to the family you was born to. You was born in the neighborhood you was born to. You was born woman, you was born black, you was born poor, and you find you got to do a lot more work. But I have a God that is equitable. That means he gives you what you need. Somebody may need some shoes, the Lord will give you some shoes. Somebody may need some socks, the Lord will give you some socks. But if you don't need no socks, the Lord ain't got to give you no socks. But the Lord will give you exactly what you need. You don't have to be worried about where you was born, what condition you was born in, how hard you got it, because I got a God that still makes miracles happen, and you can just show up and tell him, I am a miracle. I'm not supposed to be here, but I am a miracle. I'm one of those statistics, but I'm on the other side. I am a miracle. But the miracle ain't just for you. You get blessed. You benefit. You get lifted up. You get happy. But in the midst of all that, don't forget to talk about the one who made it all possible to begin with. Don't shout so hard that you forget to tell somebody it's Jesus. The reason why I'm shouting, I'm here today because Jesus. I couldn't make it, but it was Jesus. He sent mama, but it was Jesus. He sent a friend, but it was Jesus. Don't forget where the miracle comes from. We open up the doors of the church today that you may receive this miracle worker. And the greatest miracle he can work in your life is to give you a rejuvenated mind, a transformed spirit. He can restore you to what he wants you to have, take you out of the situation that you're in. But the thing about the Lord is he don't have to get rid of problems in order to sustain you through the trouble. He can hold you and keep you. There's some things about problems you can learn about God that you can't learn in good times. The Lord will keep you if you trust him with your life. Let us stand as the choir leads us in the song. Will you trust him? The Lord is calling to you today. The question is, how will you respond? Is there another? The Lord is calling to you. He's calling to you. Yes. Where would I be?
Where would I be?
There's room. Is there more? Is there more?
Not dead for the Lord on my side.
There's still room. There's still room.